If you have been with us either in person or watching the services online over the past couple months or so, since the celebration we had here on Easter Sunday, you'll remember how in the gospel stories we've been moved along in the biblical story to where we are today. During that time, we heard a couple of the great I am statements of Jesus. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the way, the truth, and the life. A couple of weeks ago, we heard Jesus tell the disciples that he would soon be leaving them. I can imagine the time between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension, a day that was recognized by the Christian church 10 days ago. I can imagine that time as being pretty much feeling like a roller coaster for the disciples. Just imagine the twists and turns that were taken during that time. Remember how devastated they must have been upon Jesus' arrest and his crucifixion. And the confusion they would have encountered just a few days later when they discovered that the tomb was empty. And then there was Jesus' appearance to the disciples on that first Easter Sunday evening, and the subsequent news that a couple of disciples had walked with Jesus along a road to Emmaus. It almost felt a bit like a roller coaster for those disciples. And then Jesus being taken from them on the day of his ascension. Just before returning to the Father, he told them to go and wait in Jerusalem for the one that he would send to them. And so they did just that, but there was nothing for a whole 10 days. I can imagine it being a bit like a roller coaster for them. Ups and downs and twists and turns. And then feeling as though each day life was kind of so far from what they'd expected it to be like. And yet one of the things that particularly stands out to me in all of this is a contrast between what things were like 7 weeks previous to our passage in Acts of the Apostles today. And it revolves around something seemingly simple and fairly ordinary. It revolves around a set of doors. 7 weeks prior to the day of Pentecost, you had the disciples inside a room. And not only with the doors shut, but the doors locked. And the disciples were huddled together. 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, again, we find the disciples inside. Are they in the same room that they were in on that Easter Sunday evening? We don't know. But we do know that they were there together and they were huddled together. And yet on this day, something becomes strikingly different. Because on this day, the doors, while they may at one point have been closed, like they'd been 50 days earlier, on this day things were to change. While 50 days earlier the doors had been locked, Pentecost was the day that the doors were blown wide open. I want us to take a look at the Pentecost story today and to explore what God might be wanting to say to us through it. And I want us to be looking at three particular questions. When it came to the Spirit at Pentecost, who was it for? What was it about? And what was its purpose? Let's begin by looking at who the Spirit was for. Our passage today began in this way. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, I think it's important to be very clear right here that Pentecost was not the introduction of the Holy Spirit. This wasn't the first time that the Holy Spirit had had an impact on people. There are other stories in the Scriptures where the Spirit of God comes upon people and empowers them to do things that they might not ordinarily do. But the thing was, when those times occurred, the Spirit usually filled particular people for a particular time for a particular purpose. You could say that they were kind of time-limited offerings, time-limited empowerments. And the empowerments were usually for special, chosen people. Just like there were times in Jesus' ministry when he chose a select group to be with him, like when he raised the little girl from the dead, and also the time when Jesus was transfigured, he called just a few people to be with him at those different times. Just like those times, previously when the Spirit was poured out, it was on select people. It was for at a select time and for a select purpose. But on the day of Pentecost, that was no longer the case. The Spirit was poured out on all of them. That's what we heard in verses 3 and 4 of our passage today. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, I know people might be thinking, okay, sure, it was poured out on all of the disciples, but still, they were a pretty select group of people, weren't they? I mean, they were the ones specifically chosen by Jesus to be his followers from the beginning. So you might just assume that it wasn't just poured out on anybody. It was still a select few. But if you remember what I talked about a few weeks ago and how I mentioned that when the Scripture refers to disciples, it doesn't just mean the 12. While there were 12 who may have been specifically chosen to be followers of Jesus, to be his closest companions, there were still many others who had become disciples of Jesus. And the sense we get is that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit came down upon each and every one of them. And that seems to be supported by what Peter later said on the day of Pentecost when people asked what was happening. In our passage today, we heard Peter quote some words from the prophet Joel, spoken hundreds of years prior to the day of Pentecost. Remember the words Peter quoted in verses 17 and 18. In the last days, these are the words from the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in these days, and they will prophesy. Who was the Spirit for? The Spirit was for all of the followers. There's no sense of God saying to the disciples who are gathered there, this is for those of you who want it. If you're interested, raise up your hand. No, the sense we get is that part and parcel with being a disciple of Jesus is being filled by and empowered with the Holy Spirit. So it leads us to our first set of questions for today. To what extent have you allowed yourself to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And the second question, what is it that's getting in the way of you opening yourself to the Spirit more? What is it that's kind of a roadblock for you? Let's keep going. So we've looked at who the Spirit at Pentecost was for. Now we want to look at the question, what was the Spirit of at Pentecost about? And I think to help us here, we need to go back to that upper room on that first Easter Sunday evening. We have a sense of what those disciples were like back then, don't we? They were locked inside a room. Scripture tells us it was because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. They were afraid that what had just happened to their leader, Jesus, would soon be happening to them as well. And so they huddled together and locked the doors to make sure nobody could get in. It was remarkable, wasn't it? Even after Jesus' first appearance to them on that Easter Sunday evening, after Jesus had actually shown them that he, in fact, was alive, the very next week when the disciples were together in that upper room, again, they had the doors locked. They were still huddled together. And even in our passage today, we have those disciples inside a place together, seemingly keeping themselves to themselves. But did you notice what happened once the Spirit had filled them? The disciples, they were transformed. The Spirit at Pentecost is about transformation. No longer did the disciples stay huddled and tucked away together. As they were filled with the Holy Spirit, so were they changed completely. With the arrival of people outside the doors of that house, wondering what on earth was going on, the disciples, they didn't stay tucked away. They didn't keep themselves to themselves, afraid of encountering other people. No, instead, once the doors of the house had been blown wide open by the wind of the Holy Spirit, the disciples, they went outside and began speaking with those who had gathered. They spoke about God's love. They spoke about the wonders of God. They spoke about how God had come down in the person of Jesus. And you know, perhaps the greatest transformation might be noticed in one of the disciples, the lead disciple, Peter. Perhaps you remember how he responded on the night of Jesus' arrest, when people came up to him and said, "Weren't you with that person named Jesus?" How did Peter respond to them? Well, he said, "You must be mistaken. You must be thinking I'm somebody else." And he didn't just do that once, he did it three times. And it wasn't as though the people who asked, that all of them were kind of powerful people who could really do a lot of harm to him. One of the people who approached him was a servant girl. And yet Peter was terrified. Didn't want anybody to know that he was connected in any way to this man they call Jesus. And yet, what we hear in our passage today, we hear how when he goes outside to meet the people, without the slightest hesitation, he begins to speak to them. And what we have here in our passage today is really Peter's first sermon. We actually heard more of that sermon a few weeks back. And it wasn't as though Peter was merely speaking to one or two people at the time. It wasn't as though he was just speaking with a handful of curious who were gathering around that house. If we were going to go further into Acts chapter 2, we'd hear that at the end of his sermon, the end of his time speaking with the people, 3,000 people were added to the number of Christians that day. Clearly, the crowd that Peter spoke to was enormous. And likely among those people might have been some powerful people. Just a bit more than 7 weeks earlier, Peter had been terrified to even speak to a servant girl. And yet at Pentecost, he went out and spoke to a massive crowd. And that didn't faze him slightly. Why? Because he'd been transformed by the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is about transformation. So I want to ask you, to what extent have you allowed the Holy Spirit space to work God's transformation in you? And what still needs to be transformed? What part of you have you been holding back from God? And what is God saying to you about that today? So one final thing to consider. We've looked at who the Spirit was for. What was it about? Now I want us to consider, what was the Spirit's purpose? To help us answer that question, I'd like us to return to the room where the disciples had gathered prior to the doors being blown wide open. The passage today told us that when the Spirit came, tongues of fire seemingly came and rested on each of them. And all of them began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Can you imagine what an incredible experience that must have been for those disciples? I don't know whether you've ever experienced a moment in your life before where you were given an incredible sense of God's presence with you right there. I know there have been times in my life where I've sensed God's presence to such an extent, it's almost been palpable. I can imagine it having been something like that for the disciples, but even more so perhaps on the day of Pentecost. And you know, I can imagine it being tempting for those disciples to just sit there and to soak it all in, to bask in God's glory, to do what the writer of Psalm 27 longs for when he once said, "One thing I ask from the Lord, one thing only I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple." I can imagine it being tempting for the disciples to just soak in that Pentecost experience. And yet, what good was it for them to be able to speak in foreign tongues if they weren't going to use that language to communicate with other people? On that day in Jerusalem, there were people from other nations who needed to hear the message of God's love. And the thing that strikes me here about what the Spirit did at Pentecost was that the Spirit didn't simply make it so that those foreigners could understand the language of the disciples, but rather that the disciples were given the language of the foreigners. Had the disciples stayed inside, the gifts of the Spirit would have been meaningless. Had the disciples stayed inside the house, nobody really would have benefited. The Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost, not for the sake of the disciples, but rather the Spirit was given for the sake of others, that they might hear the good news of Jesus, that they might hear the invitation to take a step and become disciples of Jesus as well. I believe this is absolutely crucial to our understanding of mission and ministry today. Too many people in too many churches have an understanding that if we just do what we do and show others what we do, then they will come to appreciate what we do and they will want to become part of our congregation. Too many people in too many churches have an attitude of, let's hold fast to the way we do things and just hope that others will come to appreciate those things and will want to do the same things we do. Too many people in too many churches speak in a language that I'd call Christianese, or in the context of Anglican churches, Anglicanese. A language that relates only to those who are on the inside. Excuse me. A language that only relates to those who are on the inside already. A language that means nothing to people outside the doors. And the problem is, we just assume that the people outside the doors will want to learn our language. But that's not what happened at Pentecost. The disciples didn't teach the foreigners a new language. Instead, the disciples spoke in the language of the people so that the wonders of God could be proclaimed. God's purpose in pouring out His Spirit on the church at Pentecost wasn't so the church could just soak in God's glory. Nor was it God's purpose that merely those inside the church might benefit. But rather, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church so the church could reach out to people outside the doors. Those doors that have been blown wide, wide open. That those people outside those doors might discover a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The moment a church starts to turn its attention inward and stops focusing its attention on those outside the walls, that's the moment the church stops being the church. The church which Jesus gave His life for. The moment that we become satisfied that at least our needs are being met is the moment we start becoming unrecognizable to Jesus. And we start veering from the path that Jesus is laying before us. One of the things I give thanks to God for in relation to this church community is the many ways in which this congregation has looked outwards over the years. For the missions that have taken place in foreign countries. For the outward looking and the outward reaching of our tithe fund as we give 11% of our income to needs outside of our church. I give thanks for our preschool. I give thanks for the VBSs, the Vacation Bible Schools we've had in the past, and our family movie nights that we've had. Those things haven't just been limited to those who are part of this place, but the doors have been wide, wide open to those who are not. I give thanks for the ways in which people have been willing to consider the language they use in order to make sure that it really communicates to those who aren't yet familiar with what goes on in a church. And I guess what I want to encourage you to do once I leave is to ensure that you keep on doing that. And I'm not really speaking about those particular ministries. Those might not be the things to keep on doing. But it's more the focus that we need to always have. Don't turn your attention inward. Don't seek to meet the needs merely of those who are already here, but instead seek to reach out to those who aren't. One more person. It's not just about one more person here. It's about one more person who is not yet here, that they might take one more step towards Jesus. When the Spirit was given, it wasn't given primarily for my sake, for your sake, or even for the sake of a current congregation. No, the Spirit was given for the sake of others, that they might discover the love God had for them. The Spirit is continually given so that people might discover the love, that God has for them now. That they might come into a relationship with Jesus. So the final set of questions: to what extent might God say you are keeping God's Spirit for your own benefit rather than for the sake of those outside the doors? And what further step is God calling you and this church to take today? What a difference a mere 7 weeks makes. In 7 weeks, the trajectory of the church and the world changed completely. When God poured out His Spirit on His church, the Spirit was poured out and offered to all without exception. The Spirit was given in order to transform. The Spirit was given for those who had yet to meet with Jesus, that they might come to know God's amazing love in Him. May we from this day forward never content ourselves to huddle together. May we not seek to keep the doors closed, but instead realize that the doors have been blown wide open. May we have the courage to go through the doors with loving and generous hearts so that those with whom we encounter might come to know God's love for them and might respond to His call by entering into a relationship with Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for the gift of Your Spirit. We recognize that Your Spirit is offered to each one of us. And Lord, sometimes we just kind of hold back and just expect the Spirit to go be given to somebody else. Lord, help us to open ourselves up to Your Spirit. Lord, we want to be transformed by Your Spirit, continually shaped in the way You would have us be, that we'll be the people that You created us to be. Help us to make a difference. And Lord, help us not to content ourselves with being filled with Your Spirit and just keeping the Spirit to ourselves, but now empower us to go out and make a difference in the world. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.